postman came this morning.
Can you just give everybody...
Is that right? I don't think we'll need all of them. Everybody gets one. I'm sorry your name isn't written on it, but everybody gets an envelope. You'll notice that it's sealed, and there's a reason why it's sealed. You're not meant to look in it yet. There will be a time when you can open the envelope, but it's not yet. Yes, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit I remember reading about, the gift of winning the lottery. But everybody got one? You can get one. Oh, you gave it away. So just put it down somewhere or forget about it for a bit. It's not not time for the envelope yet. Yeah, I know. It's horrible, isn't it, to do that? Spiritual gifts, one of those topics that churches either seem to really embrace and other churches seem to really shy away from. It's one of those sort of topics that defines people, I think, in a lot of ways. I think it would be fair to say that the reason Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, having founded that community of faith on his second missionary journey, they were in a real mess. Things were not going well, administratively, if you like, in the church at Corinth. Divisions, disunity, arguments, false teaching, favoritism, all combined to create chaos, really, chaos. And Paul's letter was written to address a lot of these things that were causing that. When you read through his letter, there is a sternness about it. There certainly is clarity, but there is a message of love from a guy who really ached for his friends because they were missing out on the joy and the blessing of being passionate disciples of Jesus. They were missing out on these things because of the chaos, the disunity that was happening. Paul wanted to sort this mess out. One of the areas that concerned Paul was their understanding of spiritual gifts, which he which had been influenced by some of the false teaching that was going on in the church, had a very poor influence on them. So Paul wrote in this opening of chapter 12 that about spiritual gifts, brothers, chapter 12, verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant. Because ignorance is the foundation of a lot of chaos that happens in our world and certainly in churches. People think they know something, but unless they have the authority of the scriptures, what do they know? Not much. And so Paul wanted to overcome this ignorance. He wanted to set them right. He wanted to give them the truth about spiritual gifts. It appears that they had an abundance of gifts and an enthusiasm for knowing them. But you get a sense that there was a lot of chaos in the use of these gifts, which was contributing to what was happening in Corinth. Look at verse 7 of chapter 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Paul is trying to re-establish order in their understanding of the purpose of their giftedness. He tells them that they have received gifts of the Spirit of God for the common good. And my hope this morning is that, yeah, we will understand how we are to use our gifts. God has graciously given us. But I think we need to be reminded of a few basic principles about this issue as we see each person using their God-given gifts in our healthy church. But that's what we really are about, looking at how this is in our healthy church. How is this going? To start with, the basic truth is that each believer has been blessed with at least one spiritual gift, often more. often combinations of gifts that can be used for ministry, but to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Could you turn to the person, don't do this, could you turn to the person next to you, near you, round you, could you tell that person your spiritual gift? Could you do that this morning? Some could, some couldn't, some maybe. It's an interesting question. But to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So what are spiritual gifts? What are we talking about when we use this term? Are they the same as ordinary abilities that people seem to have in our community? Are they the same type of gifts? They are abilities, they are capabilities, skills given to each believer by God for ministry, for service, for usefulness in the church. They are gifts from God. 1 Corinthians 12:11. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to them each one just as he determines, just as the Spirit of God decides. Not us, not the pastors of the church, not the leaders, not the Spirit of God determines who gets what. They're given by the Spirit of God as he determines. We don't get to choose. We don't get to select or reject the gifts given to us. They are not a reward. They are not earned. They are not an indicator of spiritual favor or superiority. They are gifted to each believer by the Spirit of God as he determines for his purposes to the glory of God the Father. I believe that's true. But that's not to say we can't ask God to be gracious in giving us certain gifts. In fact, Paul encourages us to do that. 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those who help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So Paul encourages us to think about the gifts. Ask God. Search for them. Eagerly ask God. Desire the greater gifts. We can ask for these gifts, but why can we ask for them? Why can we ask for them? Because they are still gifts from God. They are still gifts from God. While Paul probably obviously ranks the gifts mentioned here in order, one is no more useful than any of the others. One is no more valuable in the sense that each gift is from God and for his purposes than any of the other gifts that we've mentioned this morning. So even the gifts we might consider the most humble, these are still gifts from God given to enable us to serve him and his church. Even those ones we consider the most humble, they are just as important because they are all gifts from God for his people, for his purposes. Spiritual gifts are an expression of God's grace and an opportunity for us to transmit them, to pass on God's grace to others so we can receive and use these gifts as an act of faith. As an act of faith. John Piper uses a really helpful illustration of someone who has a natural ability to teach, but you can apply it to any of the gifts, I think, that we'll read about this morning, hospitality service, helping other, administration, giving. You can apply this to any of these. Someone has a natural ability to teach. When they use their ability, people just can't help but be taught. They have this way of being able to pass on information in a way that is useful, helpful, and teaches people. Does this mean that that person has the spiritual gift of teaching that Paul has mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12? What is it about teaching that makes it a gift of the Holy Spirit? Because I go to Blacktown South every day of the week and teach children? Do I have the gift of teaching? Well, yes, I do work in the library. I still do teach. But do I have the spiritual gift of teaching that Paul writes about here in these passages? What is it that makes those gifts a gift of the Spirit? I believe it's faith. I think it's faith. I'm sure it's faith. It's faith. I've convinced myself. Faith, the looking away from ourselves, the complete dependence on God to act in a way that brings glory to Him. Glory to Him. Because if we can claim any worth in what we do for the kingdom, we devalue that gift from God. If there is any of our own ability, strength, any of our own understanding, surely we devalue the gift from God in that sense. If we take any credit, where is the credit to Jesus in what we do? How will our faith grow if we can take any glory for ourselves using these gifts that we say are given from God? How will our faith grow if we can do that? Because where do you draw the line? Where does it stop being me and start being God? It's all God, isn't it? It's all God. Otherwise, it's none of God. So a person who goes to university, becomes a teacher, has 25 years of teaching experience, do they have the spiritual gift of teaching? Maybe not. Maybe not. This church has recognized in me and others the gift of teaching. People have encouraged me in my use of that gift. People have encouraged me to go along to seminars, to go along to listen to people speaking, to develop that gift, but they recognized in me the God-given gift of teaching to begin with. I believe that's the way it works. That's the way it works. These are gifts from God, extraordinary gifts from God for the common good, for the building up of His people, His church, to the praise of His glory. This is why Paul can tell the Corinthians and us that we should not think of ourselves more than we ought, but rather with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given, because it is faith that allows us to use our gifts for ministry, for the good of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. He says something similar in 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. It is God working them for His purposes, for His church, for the common good of His people. We each have different gifts according to the grace given us. The ESV says God empowers us. We use these gifts in accordance with the proportion of our faith, and so we have nothing to boast about in this, as if we have somehow managed to work these gifts ourselves. But as we use our God-given gifts to serve Him, to serve the church, to serve each other, they are a blessing to those around us, of course. But they will have the end result, I believe, of strengthening your faith, our faith, my faith, as we see everybody using their God-given gifts in this way. This is going to be a little bit hard, perhaps, for some people to hear. If you're not using your gifts, sharing that's a bit selfish, isn't it? Isn't it a bit selfish? If that's not something that we see and we all rejoice in, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Isn't that a bit selfish? This is a gift from God for His church, for the purposes of building up His church. You're not using that well. Isn't that a bit selfish? Could be. But because the more you become aware of your dependence on God, not only for these gifts in the first place, but for His Holy Spirit's direction in using them as you pray, thanks for them, your faith will grow and the faith of those around you will be blessed and grow as well. It's kind of how it works. It's kind of how it works as the community of faith learns to use their gifts in this way. These gifts are real. I'm not sure how real you think they are. These gifts are real. Each believer has at least one, often more. We're to use them according to the faith God has given us. We will experience a strengthening, a growth, a development of our faith as we use our God-given gifts. Paul wrote to the churches in Corinth and Rome, and Peter wrote in his first letter about the use of spiritual gifts. So there's three passages we're going to read here in a row. Hang in there with me. They're worth listening to. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We've heard that about five times this morning. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Peter, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Our God-given gifts remind us that we are a part of his body. These gifts are not for our own sake. They are given so that we might function as one part of that body. So in Christ, we who are many form one, and each member belongs to all of the others. That's a lot to take in. How does that work in your life, week by week, day by day? As you come and sit here on Sunday morning, it might be easier to see, because this is the one time out of the week where we do choose to come and meet together as one body. How does it work for me as I go off to work every week and I'm still connected to you guys because of the faith we all have in Jesus? How does that work in my connection with the rest of Christ Church around the world? Huge things to think about, but that's how we are all connected. It's no accident that mixed in with Paul's message to the Corinthians is this image of the body, the local church being one body, with each part doing its bit to help the whole to function well, to function in a healthy manner. But listen to what he says about that body back in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Listen to this bit, because this is really the point. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Spiritual gifts are given to profit the whole church, not the individual. Each of us has been blessed with at least one spiritual gift for the common good. Open your envelopes. Okay, got your envelopes? Open your envelopes. You'll be underwhelmed, I'm sure. Here's a list. It's a list that I've made up from my readings, helped by others. Some people had heaps more. One guy I read had just nine. And lots of things that are on this list he combined into. I kind of went for in between. Was there 21, I think, on there? Here's a list. It's a list of most, if not all, of the spiritual gifts in the Bible. Have you had a quick look through it? Hi, come on in. How well does something function, a body, a machine, an organisation, when every part is doing its bit? It sounds great, goes well, it's a joy to see it work. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices. When we see people using their God-given gifts, when we benefit from their transmission of God's grace by faith to the body, to others, growing in their dependence on God, growing in their faith, growing in their enjoyment of Jesus expressed through their service, every part rejoices, don't we? I hope we do. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. What if we're suffering for want of people to use their God-given gifts? Take a look at the list. Is something obvious to you on that list? Is something jumping out of that page at you this morning? It's so evident that this is you. Tell somebody, please. Tell somebody that that is the case. Tell JJ, tell me, tell the deacons, tell a trusted friend, maybe even your wife or your husband. I don't. Tell somebody if that is the case. You look at that list, that's me. This is what I've been waiting for. Are you looking at that list and that's not your experience? Nothing that obvious. Nothing grabs you by the shirt collar and says, this is you. That's okay for now. That's okay for now. Maybe you don't know what it means to be able to discern different spirits, or you don't know what to do with mercy or how to be generous in giving. Maybe you don't understand some of these things. But something does have to be done about that, because one of these is your gift. It's not hidden. It's not a secret. There's not a code you have to understand to read through the Bible to work out what your gift is. There's not a quest you have to go on to find it. It's not like that. That's not how God works. It's obvious. It's real. It's something that we all have and we need to share with each other. But which one? Talk to someone. Find out about things. Work it out. Let's get it done. So what should you do if this is you? If you're not 100% sure, if you don't know, what should you do? What do you think is the first thing I'm going to say? Please, yell it out at me. Pray. Pray to God to reveal to you his gift that he has given you. Pray to God that he would do that. Pray that you would use it wisely for the common good. Praise God for his gift and thank him every day for his grace to you, so you can serve others in this way for the common good. Read the scriptures. Look at these passages that include these lists of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. Seek clarity about what these gifts mean. How does it work in service? How does it work in ministry? Read about it. Talk about it with a trusted friend. Somebody who will understand where you're at, what you're about. Talk to people about it. Ask a church leader, somebody here that you can trust. Here's something. Just do it. Just do it. Use it. See what happens. Show mercy. Act mercifully. Reveal your inner mercy to others. Seek ways to be merciful. Just do it. Give it a go. Try it out. See what happens. Rejoice with those who are using their gifts. We all want to rejoice with you if that's the case. Lead in an area of ministry where you see there is a lacking in our church. Look around. Where is there need? Perhaps you should tell JJ or me or one of the deacons about that. We don't want to have the same chaos that they had in Corinth. Do something. Use your gift. Here's something that I struggled with for a long time, and Michelle and I often used to talk about this when we were younger. When we were at Blacktown Baptist Church, every year there was an election of people in roles, in positions. And it seemed to us like those positions were linked to a gift. That's not the case. There's no labels, there's no titles. You don't have to have a title to be using a spiritual gift. It's not like that. We are all gifted by God for the purpose of serving His church for the common good. Just use your gift. Do it. Tell how it goes. Let us know how it went. If you're struggling, this is where you feel you should be, but things are not going. Talk to us about that. Share the wonderful stories of success. Tell us your struggles. We want to pray for you over these things. We want to be doing that. Tell us how you discovered that you are a generous giver, that you are wonderful at dispensing mercy, that you have a gift of service to others. Let us know. Tell us. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men to the praise of His glory. We're not going to get you out the front here and look at this guy. We're going to say, look at this guy. God has gifted him this way and he is using that gift. Praise be to God. That's the point, to bring glory to Him. Because in the end, in our healthy church, where we see the truth giving birth to worship and fruitful living and these indicators happening, why are these things important to us? Because our purpose is to bring glory to our God. This is one way that we can do that. Let me pray. Father, sometimes there is confusion around this issue. What am I gifted with? How can I use that gift? Father, help us to see through man-made barriers, barriers that are not even there. They're just things that the devil puts in our mind or we think are traditions that need to be followed. Father God, help us to forget all about those things. Thank you that you have gifted each one of us for the purpose of building up your church and for developing and strengthening our faith in you, and eventually, Father God, to be able to praise you and glorify you in the use of that gift. Father, I pray for people this morning who perhaps are in that situation, a little confused, not sure what to do. Father, give them the courage to seek out trusted people that they would talk to about this. I thank you for those, Father God, who thank you every day for the way you have gifted them, and I thank you for the way that they are using their gifts in ministry in this church. I thank you, Father God, for the way that you do that in all of the churches that, yeah, are once again yours. And so I pray today as we look at this list, as we read through these passages, as we listen to your Spirit speaking to each one of us, we would once again be brought back to that humble place at the foot of the cross where we thank you for all that you have done for each of us through Jesus. Even the very faith we have to use these gifts is from you, and we give you thanks for that in His name. Amen.